The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday, as we continue to dive into the book of Philippians so that we can get to know the letter better and learn to apply God's timeless truths to our lives. Science changes, but God never changes. Haha. First up, your reputations matter to a degree. Paul talks about the reputation of the Philippians as it relates to what he hears about them and not about what the world's perception is of them. There's a big difference. Next, the Bible believer does not need to be frightened. Why? Because God is with us and for us. That truth is a witness to our own salvation and future glory. And finally, guess what? We win the prize. Not only do you and I get to share in the life of Jesus, we get to share in his sufferings too. Isn't that groovy?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities. We gotta tell you what happened to my wife. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? We love to know what you think. We think it's great. Just remember how I've been sharing with you from my perspective, as terrific as he has had to put up with it, two Jews, three opinions. That's all you got to remember. In fact, I recently had a little saying come my way that says, that's my opinion, and if you don't like it, I have another one. See, that's the kind of stuff I think is just as that great.
That was actually a good one.
That's a good one, isn't it? It's like, I have another one. Here we go. You can reach out to us a couple different ways. Now, you can do praise reports. I'd like to hear a few more praise reports just because I like hearing it. Prayer requests, which we get on a pretty regular basis. A lot of them are private, so you'll just hear me say little subtle hints about praying for people because you got to respect privacy. That's an important element. You can also ask a pop question. If we can answer it, we'll do our best to do that. And then you can also answer trivia or anything else that's coming together with you. You don't really have to call us and give us the weather report. We basically get that, most of that, sticking your head outside and looking. And then the traffic report, if you've got something that's really specific, maybe outside of there's cars on the road, you know, something that's really helpful, that's one thing. But if not, don't worry about it. Here we go. Here's our first trivia question, trying to keep it simple as we begin the very simplicity of it all. You know the number to call in, 972-445-0770. You also can text in 214-210-8. 8483. Boy, I almost forgot it right there. And I did find out there's a new snail service. So if you can write the answer out and put it with a snail, give it to them, give them a little tip, they can get it here right about the time the Lord returns. Okay. I haven't even started yet. I haven't even given it yet. You know, I'm gonna give you something like pi divided by mc square. Okay, so I'm gonna wait. I haven't even given the trivia question. They're waiting on the phone for me to give the trivia question. We are just killing it here. All right, so let me get ready to give you this trivia question. Here we go. Pretty straightforward. I think it's an easier one. Who was bitten by a snake and shook it off into a fire and felt no harm? Who was bitten by a snake and shook it off into the fire and felt no harm? I think you know the answer. Oh, Nope. Okay. No worries. Okay. Okay. All right. So that's the trivia question. If you guys think you know it, go ahead. No worries on that one. Text us in, call in, do whatever. We'll leave that into your capable hands. Keep in mind, folks, any topic is open for conversation. Why? Well, because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, I have a lot to cover in expository. Just a lot. How much? How much did Abraham knew? He knew a lot. Just like a lot, okay? Before we get there, DNA. We've got our specified DNA. You remember for the new, the kind of modified version?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
All right, do you think you know it? You want to do it? It's up to you. You don't have to. I can set you up, and then you can pull in the new words. Okay. Draw closer to the Lord daily, right? That's the first one. Never be ashamed and always be ready to serve. Serve. That was it. Okay. To serve. I can talk. Leave me alone. I'm doing pretty good. All right, so we're getting ready to go into Philippians. We got to wait just a second. We got a little bit of a tech issue. We'll get take care of relax. Everybody relax. But boy, today's Philippian lesson going to be very challenging. So I'm going to read it, and then we'll play our intro to it. But let me read it first. Here's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel, that whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. All right, let me check with T. Do we have our special sound for our expository? Let me go ahead and hear that.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
Again, that has nothing to do with the teaching. I just like hearing that. So for those that are sitting there thinking, is there a real spiritual tune to that? No. All right, so here we go. Here's the first thing Paul says, and I want you to think about this as a Christian. Now, stop for a second. Stop. I mean, literally stop trying to do 15 multitasking processes in your mind at one time. Stop. Okay? Look at what Paul says. He goes, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Let me just start off by saying, whatever happens, no matter what happens in life, no matter what you see, no matter what looks good or bad, no, it doesn't matter if it's positive or negative, plus or minus. It doesn't matter if it's going your way or not going your way, or the world seems to be falling apart, or the earth seems to be sinking into the sea, or whatever the case may be, whatever happens in your life, live in a manner worthy of Jesus Christ. Our lives are an epistle. What that means is our lives are a testimony. Our lives are a teaching. In some capacity, the way that we live, not just what we say, but what we do, has matter, has value. And our lives and how we live and how we conduct our lives has impact. And that impact should reflect Jesus Christ. It should not, I understand there are teams that everybody takes in politics and in sports and in, and even in academia. This college is better than this college. This group is better than this. This job is better than this. I got it. That's not the team that you're playing for, okay? The team that you're playing for is, ready? Team Jesus, okay? And Jesus Christ, by the way, in Hebrews, in the King James, is called the captain of your salvation. So the captain of your team is JC. You're on the JC team. You're in the JC league on the JC team. And you play for the JCers. You play for all the people that are for the kingdom of God. That's how you live your life. That's how you conduct yourself. And the key in that whole portion is whatever happens. Okay. Now, that you might be going through a really good time right now. In fact, some people, even though we've got the lockdown taking place and some people are really, you know, struggling through it, there's other people that are actually doing better because they've been able to kind of put a calm on the freak out and they're not doing as poorly as they've done in the past. Fantastic. And then there's other people that are really struggling because they need a little more human contact, and that's going on as well. There's people that are doing pluses and people that are doing minuses. It doesn't say, well, if everything's going great, live your life according to the gospel. It says whatever happens, you are still a representative of Jesus Christ. And even if you make a mistake, and okay, everybody out there right now, just blink once if you've ever made a mistake. Okay. See, everybody's blinking. So I should do a Visine commercial right there. The bottom line is you've made mistakes and we've made mistakes. Okay, got it. But moving forward, whatever you're doing, however it conducts you, make sure that you can look at yourself and say, I'm representing the gospel. That's what it's telling you to do. And then Paul does this one thing, and I don't have a lot of time. Boy, I could do a whole hour on this one verse because I just did 10 minutes on two words. But then he says this, then whether I come and see you or hear about you in my absence, I'll know you stand firm as one man for the faith of the gospel. Paul doesn't say so that as the world thinks about you, he goes so that when I hear about you, the world will take whatever you're doing as a Christian and put it through this filter of we can't stand you. Okay, that's how it goes. It's not an option. They didn't like Jesus. Why would they like you? if they didn't like ribs, they're probably not going to write the barbecue sauce for ribs kind of thing. You see what I'm saying? It's like, that's not happening. So what I'm trying to tell you is the reputation that Paul is talking about in this verse, there's actually some commentators, that should be your reputation in the world. Baloney. That should be your reputation amongst brothers and sisters, that he lives his life in a way that conducts and communicates the gospel of Jesus Christ. God may use that. And he might use that to reach people who don't believe. That's totally possible. But you are never going to live a Christian life at the pleasure of the world because the world doesn't like Jesus. Just can't get away from this. In James, it says that if you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy with God. It's like, uh-oh. It's not the world itself. It's not the Snickers bar wrapper that you leave on the ground. That's not what it is. It's the system. The system of the world is corrupt. Only God has a perfect system. That's it. I mean, it's, can we do better? Yes. Are we going to do better enough? No. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. Don't get mad at me. I'm not the one who said, sinner. Just on the receiving end of it, just like you, who was bitten by a snake and shook it off into the fire and felt no harm. That trivia question is answered by us understanding it was the Apostle Paul. And after the snake bit him, they are like going, he's going to die. And then 5 seconds later, when he didn't die, they're like, he's a god. See how fast people change their mind? Pretty fast. All right, folks, take a break, then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Destroying everyone and
everything we find. He's the home. Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity.
from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here.
Absolutely.
In the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So I am going to ask the audience to be praying for me. We had a board meeting on Monday night, and everything's moving forward. And I know that Deb is listening, hopefully Steve as well. That's her husband. They're great, great, great people. I mean, they just love the Lord, and that's all, you know. Anybody that loves the Lord, it's just easy to hang out with. Anyway, and then I got several other people reaching out to us. I just want you to be in prayer because I don't know, and I want to be careful. It's easy to be distracted, but a little discussion about whether the emphasis should be on biblical exposition for my degree or apologetics. Apologetics has much more to do with defending the faith and science and culture and so on and so forth. But the problem with me going that direction is you lose a little bit of the encouraging element because it's much more teachy. I would do well in a kindergarten class. Are you kidding?
This is excellent.
Yeah, this is a circle. This is a blue circle. Okay, anyway. All right, so just be in prayer for me. You should be praying for me anyway. Okay, hold on. I hit my phone the wrong direction. That was a bad idea. Here's the second trivia question. What's the second one? Peter was told by Jesus to forgive his brother how many times? There's two acceptable answers. How many times was Peter told by Jesus to forgive his brother? Okay? And then I'll tell you a story when I get to the answer, which is just a classic kind of story. All right, somebody's calling in. So if you get a text, you better hurry because somebody's already on the phone and they're like, da, 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 da. And then I try to give people, you know, the chance to do that. But there are two acceptable answers, and that's only because of the interpretation style, so that's not that big a deal. Ready? Okay. This is David. Is this my good friend Ronnie?
Yep.
Okay, brother. How are you? Turn down your echo on your radio just a little. Just come because of when it's
not
loud.
Turn it off.
Okay. Good job there. All right, my friend. So this is a classic question. There's really two answers. Either one of those will work.
I know what? Both of them.
Okay. Give me what you got, and then I'll tell you a story about it.
Okay. 70 times 70 or... what is it, 390, 490?
490, right. So 490. There's another answer in another translation that says 77 times, and believe it or not, so it's 70 times 7 or 490, and then again, there's another one, not the Masoretic, but the Sinaitic one says 77 times. There's somebody that tried to do a calculation, and I am not kidding, about forgiving somebody 77 times in a day and how it would take up every second of every day. And it's like, I think they're all missing the point, but I could be wrong. You could, I mean, you might be able to pull off 70. You can never pull off 70 times 7 or 490. It's just, you just keep forgiving. That's what you do.
It's just impossible.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some people are just like so legalistic, so technical. It's like, I don't think that's where Jesus was going with that, but okay. Anyway, excellent job, my brother. Good job.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you, bro.
God bless you, too.
All right. Excellent. All right. I love stuff like that. And yes, there was actually somebody who did a whole test, and it was just like, what are you doing? Like, could you come up with something more wasteful? I mean, that's like sitting in traffic. Anyhow, let's get to this next segment. So the first segment, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy. Your life represents Jesus Christ. There's, oh, we didn't do our stuff, did we? Did we do our stuff? Yeah, we'll skip it and come back to it. Is that okay? All right. I have to check with T and make sure it's okay. Or we'll just skip it and then do it on the next one. All right, so I want you to be aware that your life matters. Your life is a witness. Your life is a testimony. Your life is a sermon. Now, there are some people that will say, okay, I am not one of them, well, you know, you can never teach better than the life that you live. Oh, that's absurd. You'll never live up to the fullness of the gospel because the gospel is way beyond mankind. It's way beyond humanity. You're supposed to live up to it the best that you can day by day as you're growing and becoming like Christ, but you'll never reach the measure of the fullness of the grace and glory of the gospel. You just keep going in that direction and keep seeking to be like the Father. Here, and like Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, with help from the Father and guidance from the Father. Here's the bottom line to that whole process, okay? You move forward, you live your life in a way that reflects the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here is a hint that Paul gives to this group of people that he's very close to. And has great encouraging words, one of the few epistles that doesn't have rebuke, right? He says in verse 28, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. There is, and there's a twofold element to that. There is, for some Christians, way too much of a fear of what people think who are not Christians. Stop it. Okay? I mean, and don't get mad at me when I say this, but if you've ever seen a cartoon where somebody grabs a newspaper and smacks the dog on the head or something, he's like, that's what I'm doing. It's like, boom, 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 boom. Stop that, because your fear of man is useless. Okay? It's not only is it wrong, it's useless. What people think of you may seem important, which is why people seek fame, but it changes in a moment. And you could do one thing wrong. You could hiccup wrong and be out. And see, the idea there is that there's nothing that you should be frightened of or living in fear. And then if you take it to its real conclusion, you're not supposed to be afraid, because the worst that man could ever do to you is kill you, but man could not put you in hell or heaven. So the worst they can do is terminate this first part of your journey. But the scripture is quite clear that the only one to fear is the Lord, who can terminate this journey and make it a lot worse on the next journey. And so your whole composition there should be, I really care about that second one a lot more, so I'm going to be aware of that. So there's a twofold application there that's saying, hey, you don't need to be frightened by any way by those who oppose you. People that are against the gospel, people that are against Christianity, people that are against the faith, people that mock you, people that ridicule you, okay. But you don't have to be afraid of them. You don't have to be frightened by them. But Dave, they might scream at you. They might. And they might throw things at you. They might. And didn't some Christians die for that very faith? They did. And Hebrews chapter 11 talks about it, says the world wasn't worthy of them. Some people got sawn in two. They took a saw and cut them in two. But those people also got a better resurrection. And so the idea behind this is to understand, hey, don't be frightened by them. Because God is with you. You don't have to be afraid. Well, you know, that's exactly what the Hebrews passage says, which is quoting into the Torah. Why should I be afraid of what man can do to me? God is the one that we are in awe of, that we have reverence for, and that from time to time you duck your head and go, sorry, and you be honest about it and earnest about it. Man doesn't possess that power.
Why should you be afraid of man? The scripture says, what can they do to you? Nothing that has any eternal consequence, period. They just can't. And so then he does this, and I see this is the thing where I get into expository teaching where I can get lost for hours. He goes, so without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed. It's like, Paul's like going, hey, you know what's interesting about this? If you hold your faith steadfast and you're not frightened by them, this is kind of an indicator they're in trouble. Okay, I can't sing it, but that's not the point. And then it says, but that you will be saved if you can throw it into the Lord and make it stay in the Lord. It's not only a testimony against them, but it's a testimony for you that you're saved. It's not that's the only way to know that you're saved. There's probably about 20 when you get into the depth of it. But it's another way to know that you're saved. And people are freaking out, and you're just like, I'm in the Lord. Whatever. I mean, tomorrow could come. Tomorrow they could try and blow up the country. Tomorrow they can try and blow up the state. Tomorrow they can try and blow up my car. No, whatever. What am I supposed to do? I'll just wait in the Lord. I'm just going to trust in the Lord, just going to rejoice in him, not going to let them. It's not even a matter of being, and I should say this really clearly, it's not even really a matter of being intimidated just by the people around you. It's just by being intimidated by all of it. It's just like, you know what? I think the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I'm not going to be afraid. And by the way, I would like to say this and be careful in saying this, but this applies to all of us who have a connection to the Lord. There's fear on all the different sides. If you're in the Lord, you don't have to be afraid. You're allowed to disagree. You're allowed to see things differently. You're allowed to be a Baptist. You're allowed to be a Pentecostal. You're allowed to be a Lutheran. You're allowed to be a Presbyterian. You're allowed to be these things. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to be mad because the other person doesn't agree with you. You should be thankful, quite frankly, that the Lord creates such diversity. Otherwise, there'd be one flavor of ice cream, and that would be terrible. That'd be lousy. Personally, I need about 400 different flavors, but that's me. Here's the idea. Keep it in the right place. Don't be afraid. You have no reason to be frightened. Man can do nothing to you. You owe man nothing. You owe humanity. You don't owe humanity anything. You owe God every breath you take from your first one to this one you just took to the one you're taking in 10 seconds. You owe God first. Pay your debt then. And be unto the Lord first. And let him use you as he sees fit to best be a witness and a blessing to humanity. That's kind of how you do that. All this stuff should always be God first, God first, God first. Okay? All right.
It's all right.
That's an old routine. Poor T. Just to listen to all these jokes. I really do feel sorry for her. All right, folks. So we're going to take a short break and then come back. A little bit of history plus the next lesson. Just even more intense than that one. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What can you do? Well, you recognize as your brother that just hearing you say that I hoodwinked you is, of course, satisfaction for me alone. So it's not like I need something beyond that. I think that works for me. And it's on the air and it's recorded. Back to the dust with thee.
The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry.
What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We got a lot to do in this segment and a lot to cover, so we're going to get right to it. For the trivia question, very first beatitude. What is the first beatitude? What is the first attitude to be? So Jesus gives the beatitudes. He's like, what's the first one? Okay, that's all we want to know. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, if you have not been to the website for 24 hours, there are two new pictures up there. One of them is just classic. That's all I'm going to say. Just classic. A classic this show. That would be the way I would say that. So that's hemustincrease.org. That is where you can also give, which we highly encourage you to do. And then we prod you, poke you, and say, do it if you can. If you can't, pray for us. If the show is a blessing for you at all, be a part of the prayer team. And I believe that prayer is probably, from a human point of view, probably the most powerful element that can take place. If God grants a petition that's prayed, it's over. I mean, it's done. If God goes, okay, it's like, okay, that's it. It's done. Okay. All right. So first beatitude, if you know the first beatitude, send that off. I think our text, 214-210-8483. Let's do the history, okay? You have no idea why. That's so funny. I forgot that we were going to do that for the history sound. It's funny. Today is the United States Bowling League Day. Did you ever do a bowling league, ever?
No, but one of my old friends did.
Yeah.
She did it in college.
Wait a minute. Old friends. So we're talking north of 30, right? Don't talk to me. Okay, anyway. I did a bowling league so long ago. They were still putting the pins up with, forget it, just a long time ago. It's also Skyscraper Day, and the only thing I'm going to tell you about this, which is a classic, okay, is that I did a story. This is absolutely true. I did a story I can't remember if it was in Shanghai, or I can't remember if it's Japan. I can't remember the exact city. It's an oriental city. And they built a skyscraper, and they went up like 30 or 40 extra floors, and they were really, really excited, but they forgot to put an elevator in. Which is like, wait, so to go to work, nice cardio. Anyhow, I thought that was just a class. I mean, we did this whole story. Left for so, because you just think somebody would say, "Hey, where's the elevator?" Because they did the construction from the outside. Oh, it's just classic. All right. For those that don't know, in 1813, Uncle Sam, the first known use of the term Uncle Sam in print took place on this day in 1813. In 1935, the land speed record was broken. This is 1935. The 300-mile-an-hour land speed record was broken for 301 miles an hour. That was in Bonneville Salt Flats of Utah. But that's 1935. I mean, that's 85 years ago. It's like you're thinking, really, right? Is that 85? 85 years ago. Here's my favorite. You know, I always got one story. Got to do it. Got to do it. 1993, chimp beats brokers. You think of what? After a month-long contest in which a Swedish newspaper pitted a chimpanzee against five stock analysts to see who could earn the most out of $1,250, the chimp earned $190 and the stockbrokers earned $130. How is that not the story of this?
Can't underestimate the chimps.
Throwing darts. That's how the chimp did it. They would say, throw, and he'd throw wherever it stuck. That's what they bought.
That's a smart chimp.
Then the other side of the equation, maybe not the greatest analyst.
Very true.
Okay, yeah. Just going to say that's probably good. Okay, this part is I love this part. I hope you love this part. This is so exciting. Let me read it, and then we'll have T help us out for us. This is verse 29 in Philippians, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him."
Woo-hoo!
See, here's the thing. Nobody does that, right? Nobody's thinking in those terms. Wait a minute. What did you just say? It's not only granted to you to believe in Jesus Christ. What a gift that is, that God has enabled you to capture and to understand the great redeeming story of mankind. That's not only what you get, but you also get to suffer for him and with him too. See, here's the thing. The thing is, that word granted, that's the Greek word for gifting. And I just want to know the last time you and I thought about our suffering as gifting. Okay? Most of the time we think of our suffering as taking the dog out. We don't think of it as a gift. And here's the truth. The truth is that God's viewpoint, as we have said on this show 10,000 times, is vastly different than our own. Let me for a moment read you this passage out of 1 Peter chapter 4. It's verse 12 and 13. It says this: "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though some strange thing were happening to you, but rejoice that you're participating in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." The Lord makes it clear that our participation in suffering, our participation in the GAC, makes it understandably awesome that we get to participate in the glory. The fact that you and I go through suffering is another testimony from God going, "You're mine." And that's when we talked about that psalm the other day, Psalm 73, where the psalmist is like, "Yeah, God's great. Everything's great. Boy, I almost blew this whole thing. And yeah, looking at the other people, they're getting away with everything. And I'm getting really mad and getting really depressed. And they always seem happy. And I'm really depressed. And I'm really discouraged. And then I just all down and out and until I saw their end. And then I realized I'm going to heaven and they're not." It's like the big thing here to understand is that suffering isn't God's way of going, you know, "I don't like you." It's God's way of helping you identify with Jesus Christ so you can identify now, wait, and later. Well, I don't know, how's Jesus doing right now? He's at the right hand of the Father, waiting to come back, waiting for the trumpet. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto him. But to get there, he went through quite a bit, is all that I'm getting at. And so when you get to your glory, you're going to love it. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be awesome, but you got to go through it to get there. The scripture says in the book of Acts, through many tribulations, one must enter the kingdom of God. I know there's gospels out there that go, no, no, no. Jesus suffered so that we didn't have to suffer. Yes, eternally, correct. But Jesus is suffering, and the life that he committed to us was a trail, a pathway, and we follow that pathway never to the extent that Jesus did, and never will it be as unjust in the sense that Jesus committed no sin and we've got tons of sin. But that suffering that we go through, by the way, this was the premise that everything that C.S. Lewis wrote. If you've ever been blessed one time by anything that C.S. Lewis has ever done, it was all based on this. His premise was that you identify with Jesus Christ more when you suffer under the hand of God so that you can understand, and that's what brings you into glory. It's just like the understanding, the connection, not the suffering itself. That's just making you more like Jesus. Remember when you prayed the prayer to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that you repented and all that stuff, and then you said that one little bit in your prayer. Oh, Jesus, I just want to be like you. The guy goes, okay, there it is. And God said, yes. Now, you didn't know what that meant, maybe, but you said it, and there it is. My point in bringing that up is for you and I to understand that it's a privilege. Watch this. It is a gift that God allows us through his plan to suffer in a, such a way as to help us identify with Jesus. That's a gift. It doesn't feel like a gift. I mean, I could really give this a good analogy. You know, T and I, we talk and when we before we start the show, you know, do you go to the gym? Do you not go to the gym? Da, 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 da. If somebody gave you a treadmill, it'd be like, wow, what a great gift, until you get on it. And you start running on it, and you're like, this is a gift? And it's like, yes, but it's good for you. See, and that's the whole point. And it's like, yes, that's the point. But God does that, incorporates it into our lives in such a way that we are blessed because we connect to Jesus that way. I will tell you this, and I only have a minute and 15 seconds to tell you this, but if you consider what Jesus went through, how he was insulted and mocked, and then they beat upon him, and then they crucified him, and then he died, and then he came back, resurrected, with more authority and more power than ever, that process is not that far off from what the Lord brings you and I through. That's kind of what I wrote the book about that I wrote. And that is, we go through this process, we get beat up, we get the, you know, people throwing things at us, they crucify us, we feel like we die, but then when the Lord brings us back through it all, we're stronger, wiser, smarter, more understanding, more full of compassion, more full of insight than ever before. That's why it's a gift, because we connect to Jesus Christ. Okay, that's isn't that cool? I mean, that's kind of cool. All right, first beatitude, blessed are the poor, or poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit would be the probably the most direct translation, but those that realize they have deep needs for the Lord. Well said, Joy. Good job. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-484-6637. 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience.
Again, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Doctor, are you there with us?
I'm here with you, David.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got to ask you this question. I get a little fiery, especially when Christians are being accused of things that are false, and it happens all the time, especially in the media. And I think if you remember our very first time we ever talked, I told you how impressed I was with you that you are able to keep your spirit steady.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're a good friend.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing that drives me absolutely batty, which is where I need your help now. I understand this situation with Tim Tebow. He was going to do a dedication for you. He got a lot of pressure, apparently, from the media. The media accused you of being homophobic and anti-Semitic, which for me, I mean, It was. I guess when I first heard it, I was overwhelmed. First of all, anti-Semitic is a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. You've been on my show. Now, this is three time, and I'm as Jewish as they come.
Yeah, well, David, I mean, the charge of anti-Semitic comes from saying that everyone, including Jews, must trust in Christ in order to go to heaven. That is hardly anti-Semitic. In fact, I have a Jewish friend in New York who called me this week. She's not a Christian, but she said, I don't understand all of this. Said, I don't believe in the New Testament, but you do. You're simply saying what the New Testament says. And, you know, David, we've said before, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I remind people, Jesus was not a Southern Baptist evangelist. He was a Jewish rabbi. And yet you look at what he said, what the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Peter. Here are the three most prominent men of the New Testament, every one of them a devout Jew, and yet they said there's one way to God, and that's through faith in Christ. That is not anti-Semitic.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Everybody doing a great job today. Thank you for the audience. Thank you for everybody involved. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for terrific tea. Great job. Thank you. And let's see. We are covering, what, our last trivia question of this day. Tomorrow I'm going to be teaching on something that I think, okay. So, you know, like I had mentioned before, I have like a top 10 or sermons or things that I like to teach. This will be in that top 10. This is one of my favorite elements. I actually kind of processed this when I was at a seminar at a Christian seminar hotel and just like, wow. And it just kind of all made sense for whatever reason. So I'm going to share with that tomorrow. Hopefully that'll be a blessing. All right, our last trivia question, 214-210-8483 for those who are texting, 972-445-0770 for those who are calling in. What is the name of the man who carried Jesus's cross for him when it became too much for him to bear? What was that guy's name? His name should include where he's from, so to speak, because that's how he gets identified. That'd be very helpful if you can do that. Don't forget HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so don't forget to go to HeMustIncrease.org. There's some new stuff there. A lot of new stuff. There's not a lot of new stuff. There's just new stuff. Quick update on my daughter. I just want to give this real quickly. As you know, Easton Scott was in the hospital the first 115 days of his life, which is a long time to be in the hospital when you're born. So they had to go to the hospital 2 days ago, but that procedure was planned, and he's doing really, really great. But I think, you know, it takes a toll on you when you're younger and your child is not maybe performing all the way that you would prefer. And he's going to have challenges. And I think she just felt it and called up. And I just like people to pray for my daughter. Her name is Julianne. She is inspirational to me because she has proven in my family to have the greatest faith of the family. And I just think, how great is that? How proud am I as a dad? You think, oh, he's going to get emotional, choke up. Nope. I'm proud that she understands that that faith that she has in Jesus is more important than her commitment to me. I'm proud of that. I think it's the most important thing. And I pray to God every day in the name of Jesus with the help from the Holy Spirit that she will pass it on to all of her kids. Okay? So just keep her in prayer. My heart goes out to her that it's hard for her, but I know the Lord's teaching her, and he's a much better dad than I could ever be. And that's just the facts. Again, our question, our trivia question, what is the name of the man who carried Jesus's cross? We need his name, plus also that the title that goes with it. Let me finish off on this portion. It's really actually quite an excellent portion, this whole segment. This 27 through 30 is so great. And so we just finished saying it's been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Here's verse 30. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. And I there's two ways to go about this passage that you get into the expository and in the application in. First of all, Paul was going through a struggle. And as you notice, he does not say, you know, I'm going through this struggle. You guys have been, you know, praying for me. I've been suffering. I'm going through this struggle. You've heard that I've had it, and I still have it. Here's one way to approach this scripture. Just because you go through a struggle doesn't mean that it is microwave. So here's a nice, not nice thing to say to you. Just because you're going through a trial, a hard time, a difficult process, it does not mean that God has it on microwave, which means that it only goes for 1 minute and 5 seconds. Then it goes ding and your coffee's ready. Okay, that's not how it works. It goes as long as is necessary, as God deems it necessary for the purposes that God is trying to accomplish. And you say, okay. And that's a great attitude. It's like, look, I have this same struggle. You heard I had it. I still have it. It's any sense of complaining. There's a couple of people that think it's a little complaining. I don't see it as complaining. I think he's saying, look, I had this struggle. You heard about it. You're praying for me. Still have that struggle. It's like me saying, I'm still trying to figure out certain things in school. I've been saying this for what? I mean, since you've been on, right? I mean, we've been talking about that. So that's months and months and months, and it's like, yeah, that's how it goes. And until I figure it out, that's how it's going to go. Until I get those answers as clear as can be. So sometimes when you're going through process, God will give you the answers and the solutions, and everything will be quite quick. And other times it will be kind of in the intermediate process. It takes a little longer than you thought, but not too terribly long. And then finally, sometimes it takes like forever and a day. Guess what? That's all part of it. That doesn't identify you as more spiritually in tune or less spiritually in tune. If Paul says, I had that same struggle with that I had, I still got that thing going on. Well, if the Apostle Paul can say that, okay. And then the other great part about this is this whole passage, verse 27, has a lot to do with unity, and verse 28 and 29 have to do with courage and opposition and suffering. And this last little section is kind of a capsule on that to give you kind of an understanding, I would say, basically to give you an understanding, that this is a great reason for us to keep the unity that the Lord has established in us, as God is our common heavenly Father. We drink of one Holy Spirit. We are blood relatives. You're right, blood is thicker than water. We are blood relatives in the blood of Jesus Christ. And in Paul sharing that struggle, that unity then means that we share the struggles with one another. And so if I can use, I'll use her again just because I'm in that kind of mood. So Deb and Steve have been praying for us and sharing our struggle that we went through when we first came out to Texas, trying to help us get to the next place. That's part of sharing with each other. That's part of growing with each other. That's part of rejoicing with each other. In Romans chapter 12, it says, we rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those who weep. I have a friend who's not been able to see his wife because of extenuating circumstances for a while. I weep for him. I would go bonkers. You think I'm bonkers now? You should see me without Noelle as my rock. It's terrible.
It's really bad. I mean, it's bad, bad. It's like, okay, medicine bad kind of thing. It's like, so when I think about what other people go through, you know, you kind of connect to that. When somebody gets a new job, when somebody goes into a new position, I rejoice for that. I remember when I got into a new position, it was awesome. And we share in that unity. We connect in that. And so Paul's sharing, hey, this is the struggle I have, but that unity factor is enormous. You hear people on this radio show, you have people calling in, people texting in every day. I know for sure we represent at least 6, if not 8 different denominations on people that call in, interact, text, or email. That's a lot. It's not nearly enough. But that's the unity that's really there. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter if one person's going to this church or that church. You hear about what's going on with your brother and sister, and you think, man, I just hope that, first of all, oh, man, they're doing great. I'm glad to hear about it. Sometimes Ace calls in, I'm feeling great. He was feeling really bad for a while. Now he's feeling really good. You just go, yay. That's what you should be doing. And then somebody will call in and say, I got this. You know, I remember when Sam called in and he's like, I lost my employment. Well, we got to pray for Sam. We got to pray for Sam. Didn't hear from Sam for a month and a half. Why? He got a new job. That's what it is. And we're bearing with each other. We're sharing with one another. We're loving each other. These are your brothers and your sisters that you will spend eternity with. It's not just the people in your church. It's the people that God brings into your Christian universe, no matter where he brings it in. And we ought to be praying for one another, supporting one another, and loving one another. And if you're still going through a struggle, you should say, hey, I've been going through the struggle for a long time. I need some help. And it's not an insult to ask other people to pray for things that you have people praying for. I just think you get as many people praying as possible on every single thing you can. Bombard heaven. Why not? What could it hurt? And so the idea is, you know, Paul in closing this out is like, look, let your conduct be, you know, spot on, reflecting Jesus Christ. Make sure you have courage. Don't be afraid. Keep aware there's opposition. That's going to happen no matter what. Suffering, you lucky dog, you get to suffer too. I mean, I don't know if he said it that way, but you get that impression. And then he's like, look, let's keep this unity because we're sharing with one another and we're stabilizing one another. We're strengthening one another and we're loving one another. Wait, that's the gospel. That's the Christian community. This isn't your church, but this is part of your church family at this time. You understand? I mean, that's not that hard. All right, what was the name of the man who had carried the cross for Jesus? Simon of Cyrene had bared the cross. Boy, I bet you he didn't know that was going to happen to him. And then, boom, the cross gets dropped on him. And there he was to pick it up. Love it. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spinanity. Talk to you then.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.